It's a privilege and a blessing to be able to be with you, and Cindy and I are excited about being here in this wonderful part of the country and to join with you in such an effort. I applaud the vision of the congregation in seeking to use the praise of God as a vehicle not only to encourage one another and to worship God, but to reach out to others. I think you're going to be blessed by this time together, and we look forward to the weekend and what we're going to share together in our fellowship of praise. O thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. We'll be talking first about that, tuning the heart. As we think about worship, sometimes some people think of the idea of worship weariness. We know that the Israelites had worship weariness as Malachi had to address that issue with them. What is the solution for perceived lifelessness or boring assembly worship? What can be done to help make worship maybe as more stimulating than it has been? And what do we do when it feels like everyone is just going through the motions and it's not as meaningful as it should be? And some have suggested some external things to do or even organizational changes to make worship more meaningful and encouraging. Some back in the 60s, if you dimmed the lights, that would help. And maybe standing in a circle and holding hands and singing, maybe that would make it more meaningful. Or lifting hands or kneeling. Or some have suggested now, and they practice sitting around a table before partaking of the Lord's Supper and sharing what it means to you. Some have said, let's add presentation worship, solos, praise teams. And for some years, some have called for the unscriptural addition of mechanical instruments as a remedy for lifeless and meaningless assemblies. But historically, presentation worship has limited and discouraged involvement. Does the exact opposite for the person in the pew, and they become spectators rather than participants in that. External forms alone, and especially unscriptural practices, have never cured worship weariness, and because it doesn't deal with the source of the problem. So, yes, there are some scriptural things we can do, need to seek out to do to improve our edification and encouragement of one another. But all begins first by tuning the heart. Tuning the heart. You know, in perspective, as we look at congregational singing, it complements all of our assembly, doesn't it? Everything that we do. There's just no substitute for edifying song worship. And there's no shortcut into accomplishing this. Some people say, it's just singing. Well, if it's just singing, then those who like to sing are certainly going to be involved. But if some people are not particularly inclined that way, maybe they don't need to participate. But why does that perception exist, or that attitude exist in some minds? Well, maybe we've labeled it that way, singing. This emphasizes the physical and musical aspects of what we do. And so we're not here having a singing. It's much more than that. And maybe it's the way we plan our services and lead songs that suggest maybe there are more important things that are going to happen, and singing is simply a means to an end, to accomplish something else. And maybe sometimes the songs do not connect with any specific thought or teaching that would focus our attention on why we are singing what we're singing right now, making us, drawing us into the worship with our hearts. When Scripture mentions singing, it's in the context of worship. Singing has always had an intended purpose, an object. To be worship, singing needs to involve the mind, the will, and the emotions. When the mind is activated and the will is involved, the emotions cause us to be changed. All those things bring about change. If we are not changed, then we haven't tuned our heart. Song worship is not just singing for singing's sake, is it? No. Having the right attitudes towards song worship is essential. Congregational song worship will improve when every member is involved. As I look at Ephesians 4 at verse 16, the fourth chapter, talks about unity. Unity. It says, starting in verse 16, but speaking the truth in love. Think of how many ways we can do that. We are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what? Every joint supplies. According to the proper working of each individual part. Who is that? That's you and that's me. We're part. Causes the growth of the body for building itself up in love. We are to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, aren't we? One way we can speak the truth in love is in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That's the way, one way we can do that. Congregational song worship will improve when every member has a scriptural and spiritual attitude toward it. God's people are taught to teach and admonish one another in song, as we know in Ephesians the fourth chapter, continuing on. It should be the fifth chapter. But be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. And then in Colossians 3 at verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Please note, these verses include something else just beside the command to sing. Although singing is certainly important and authorized and essential, there are other important issues under consideration here. Singing is a result, a response to something. Under consideration is whether one is filled with the Spirit or whether one is indwelled by the Word of God. If one is filled with the Spirit, then he will naturally speak to his brethren in sacred songs and make melody in his heart. If the Word of Christ richly dwells within us, we will readily teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, giving thanks to God. The real issue is not whether I should sing or not, or how well I can sing, or even if I like to sing. The real issue is this: am I spiritually minded, and does the Word of Christ make a difference in my life? That's the real issue. Song worship is an effect, not a cause. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs will naturally flow from a spirit and word-filled believer, making melody in the heart and giving thanks to God in song are a delight and a privilege of a child of God. There's a conscious choice and decision we make when we assemble. will I let the Spirit of God and His revealed Word fill my mind and heart so I can properly worship God and edify His people. If a child of God refuses to sing or dislikes it or finds it's a necessary burden to teach and admonish his brethren in song and to worship his God, then that person should carefully examine their spiritual condition and attitude. Scriptural singing is about thanking God and uplifting others. And this means I cannot use the excuse anymore, oh, singing just isn't my thing, or they're better than I am at that. I'm not very good. Each of us, or each of those things, focuses on what? It focuses on me. Focuses on me. Rather, being less skilled should cause us maybe to desire to improve more in that. Singing from the heart does not neglect how we are perceived by those around us, the influence we have. Remember, I'm a joint. I'm an individual part of the body, and I'm supposed to contribute to the body, and that includes speaking the truth in love in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We are designed by God to communicate in speech and song. We were designed that way. I think of what the psalmist said in Psalm 139, verse 13, "For you formed my inward parts." You know what that includes? Your voice. God formed it. "You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Guess what? Your voice is fearfully and wonderfully made. Are you not going to use it as God designed it? Our vocal folds are amazing. They're not much bigger than a dime or a nickel. And yet they can do so much. We were created to use them to God's glory. You see, scriptural song worship involves singing with the spirit and the understanding, as we have talked about. Thankfulness in our hearts. Making melody in our hearts. Having faith in our hearts. And without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He rewards those who seek Him. Faith in our hearts, love in our hearts. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels but do not have love, I'm just a religious noise. That's important to us. And of course, joy in our hearts. Worship is intentional. Song worship is purposeful. It requires purpose and meaning and planning. With regard to the heart, everyone can improve. I can improve. You can improve. Those of us who have had music in our lives, and there's many of us, or some of us here, I know, it just naturally flows for us. And our challenge, and my challenge, is I get carried away with the music. I need help with getting those words in my heart. And maybe music isn't your thing, but maybe you lock onto the words and the meaning, even though you're not musically adept, so to speak. So that's a challenge for all of us. Song worship will improve when each member involves their heart and soul in every word that's sung in worship. When hearts are filled with understanding, faith, thankfulness, love, and joy, the song worship will come to life. We have a song about the melody in our hearts. There's within my heart a melody. Do mi. There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low.
fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in awe of thy ever-flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting 'neath His sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
Amen. Regularly encouraging one another to sing in spirit and in truth is necessary and will help our song worship, but it won't fulfill all that's necessary. Talking about tuning the voice, collective song worship has requirements regarding the voice and singing. We need constant encouragement to worship scripturally and spiritually. All need the desire to improve in the way they sing, including musical skills and abilities. It takes a continual effort to improve congregational singing. It's something you just can't let go and expect it to be maintained and to keep its vibrancy going. You see, a song has what? It's got words, it's got a melody, it has harmony. In our tradition, it has rhythm, it's got a beat. As my dear brother R.J. Stevens used to say, to sing the words of a song, we must either memorize them or read them. And so, likewise, to sing the melody, harmony and rhythm of a song, we must either memorize it or read the music. And so, as learning to read words helps our communication and understanding, learning something about music will help our communication in worship. God wants us to worship in song, and this necessitates learning something about music and singing. This involves words set to pitch, rhythm, and a beat. And some of us have been singing all our lives, while others have had little involvement in their past. For some, it comes easily, while others find it not to be something they're comfortable with. Again, as R.J. said, it's hard to put your heart into something you don't know much about, isn't it? And so if we knew a little more, maybe we could put a little more of our heart into it. We cannot do more than we know. And we cannot lead any farther than where we have gone ourselves. And we cannot impart what we don't possess. So someone has to take the lead in helping the congregation in this endeavor. And when classes are conducted on a regular basis, the more capable singers can help others to improve. And this, what we're doing this weekend, hopefully will be a foundation for which you can grow from and build on. Great blessings will be gained in continuing what's begun here. Song worship leaders are necessary in this process. They lead God's people in praise and teaching one another in song, and they humbly encourage the church to improve and have the right attitude, and they seek to improve their skills and abilities so they can share with others. Song worship must be continually encouraged and developed through training, or it will decline in its effectiveness. And although not the only scriptural way, we have chosen a tradition in our singing that includes harmony. As a culture, we love harmony. If we had the choice between a group that just sang the melody and everything else was equal and a group that sang in harmony, we would probably like the harmony better. We find it more emotionally involving to us. And so we are dealing with an art form, and what we have chosen is basically some kind of choral music, is what it is. And so song worship leading must be perpetuated through regular training within the congregation. And it's just not enough to claim that we worship scripturally and we sing scripturally. We must show by our example that singing without instruments is truly effective and worthy of our time and effort. And that's what we're looking forward to tomorrow, to demonstrating to the community and to one another that God's way works. It works. It's effective. And we are people that want to do it God's way. In conclusion with this, tuning the voice is needed, but tuning the heart must come first. When one desires to express his faith, gratitude, love, and joy in the Lord, he will put forth the effort to learn psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And so congregational worship begins with me. If I worship, if individuals are worshiping, then there is worship. If no individuals are worshiping, then there is no worship. May God help us to say this: I can improve, and I'm going to improve my ability to worship my God and encourage my brethren in song. Let's be standing as we sing, "Come, let us all unite to sing." Oh, come, let us all unite to sing, God is love. Let heaven and earth their praises bring, God is love. Let every soul from sin awake, each in his heart sweet music make, and sing with us for Jesus' sake, for God is love. God is love. God is love. Come, let us all unite to sing that God is love. How happy is our portion here, God is love. His promises our spirits cheer, God is love. He is our sun and shield by day, our help, our hope, our strength and stay. He will be with us all our way, our God is love. God is love. God is love. Come, let us all unite to sing that God is love. Amen. Our goal in song worship is unity. I think of the church at Corinth, what Paul said to them: I appeal to you, my brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree, and that there be no divisions among you, and that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. You see, that is so important. And song worship is the way that we unite together and connect together and show our unity. Distraction. The enemy of communication, edification, and unity. And we know there are some going to be distractions wherever, whatever we do. Think of Eutychus falling out of a two-story window. That certainly interrupted that assembly. There's some things you just can't predict, you can't control. But there are some things we can. There's some things that we can do to increase our unity, especially with regarding song worship. We need to try to seek when we can to eliminate distractions in our worship and to promote unity of thought and action. And how do we apply this being united in the same judgment and mind in song worship? How do we achieve this unity? What do we sing? In what context will we select to sing it? How are we going to sing? How high or how low? How fast or how slow? When do we start? When do we stop? How do we express what we sing? How can we do things properly, fittingly, in an orderly manner? How can we strive to excel in building up the church? We're just not to try. We're to strive to excel in building up the church. And that keeps going on and on. Keep striving to excel in building up the church. We have a song worship leader as an expedient to accomplish unity in our song worship. Webster defines expedient as suitability, practicality, and efficiency in achieving a particular end. Something that is expedient is something that is useful. And the more useful it is, the more expedient it is. A song leader is supposed to have the ability to effectively lead congregations in singing. If he is not effective, he is not expedient. Matt Basford. John Kilgore asked this question. Do we just let anybody lead? Just because you want to? Do you read in the Bible where just desire alone qualifies one to lead? I feel there's desire and also there's qualifications to be met. That's the principle we find. The best the individual can do is not the standard for the church and what it can do. Does the church want to or can it follow? Who benefits? Who suffers? Remember, strive to excel in building up the church. We are here because we want to strive to excel in building up the church and one another in worship. So we practice following the worship leader. And the goal is this, to sing a complete thought with a spirit and understanding in an orderly manner. That's my definition. Sing a complete thought. Why? Because so many times I've seen an incomplete thought. Some. How do we do that? We can start, stay, and stop together. So this is the model we're going to use for tomorrow and tonight. And you've been doing it all along with the leaders here. It's necessary then to follow a song worship leader. We're not trying to make musicians out of anyone, but we're learning just enough to make a difference and be more effective. And so I have this little guide, Song Worship Leader's Guide, which we'll go over, which will kind of tell us what to expect in following in song worship. We will have slides, so we won't need to do much announcing as far as books are concerned. But I found in one meeting that someone was numerically dyslexic, so they needed to hear it. So anyway, you might run onto that. But we give a pitch. Why is that important? Well, see, when we sing a song and we have that tradition where we got these parts and these harmonies that we like and love so well. You see, when we give the do, the pitch, then everybody can find what their starting note is. The melody follows all those top notes, on top. That's what the song leader usually follows, and what all the women that sing the melody, or men that sing the melody, they will follow along. So if that's what you do, you're following along with me, you're singing the melody. You're singing the top notes on that top system. Then below that, there's the alto. If you know how to sing alto, you know how to get your note. If you don't, it doesn't matter. Then there's the tenor. That's a higher male voice. If they know how to do it, they'll get their note. All you do is have to give them that a do, and then they can find their parts. You see, then we won't be searching, waiting for the song leader to start, and we have high anxiety, waiting for him to start so we can jump in when we can. Is that the most edifying way we can do it? If there was a way that we could start right on the first word together, wouldn't that be more edifying? Wouldn't that be striving to excel in building up the church? I think so. We can do that when we give the pitches, and those that give the pitch will understand. They can get their parts. I give the do for the parts, and then I go to the melody note if it's different, so you can sing right along with me. Then we're going to think about the first phrase, how it starts. And then I'm going to have a ready position. And I'm going to try to establish eye contact with you, because we got our part. We've got our note that we're going to start with. We know what word we're going to start on. And we're getting ready to start. And then I'm going to wait. So we got everybody together. We've given the pitch. And now we wait to separate the pitch from the song, and we anticipate that first word that we're going to sing together. And then we breathe together, and we sing together, starting on the first word, singing a complete thought together. We continue, and then we stop together. So, let's practice that on this song, "I Know That My Redeemer Lives." Here's the do. Do, so. Now if you sing the melody, you're going to sing with me starting in that sound. I know. Okay, that's the way it works. And then the basses know they've got do, and the tenors know they got sol, altos know they got mi. So everybody fits right in together. Do, so. I know that my Redeemer lives and ever prays for me. I know eternal life He gives from sin and sorrow free. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know eternal life He gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that unto sinful men His saving grace is nigh. I know that He will come again to take me home on high. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know eternal life He gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. Amen. We'll stop there. We have a song called "Is Thy Heart Right with God?" And it's an older song, 1899, that makes it pretty old. And it has the old King James language, archaic language. But, you know, that song asks some powerful questions. Some powerful questions that need to be answered. Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Scripture mentions two things being nailed to the cross. Of course, God's Son, and it mentions the old law being nailed to the cross. Our affections are our desires, our wants. What's most important to us? Have we nailed those to the cross? Have we crucified them? An important question. Have we put them to death? Dost thou count all things for Jesus but loss? Paul said, I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Is that our attitude? Does Jesus come first? Hast thou dominion over self and over sin? Do we have the self-control guided by the Holy Spirit? It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Now those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Dominion, rule over ourself and over sin, over all evil without and within. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, without and within, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. It's a continual process of sanctification. Are all thy powers, thy talents, your abilities, our strength under Jesus' control? Whatever we do in word or deed, we're to do all by God's authority, Christ's authority, under His rule and control. We submit to Christ's authority in all of life. Does He each moment abide in thy soul? Wow, that's powerful. Each moment? Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. That's our goal. Every moment, abide in my soul. Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Paul said in Titus 3 at verse 4, but when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Ananias said to Paul, why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name. At this time we offer that invitation as we stand and sing this song to encourage one another. Let's be standing. Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Wast thou count all things for Jesus but loss? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Hast thou dominion o'er self and o'er sin? Is thy heart right with God? Over all evil without and within, is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Are all thy powers under Jesus' control? Is thy heart right with God? Does He each moment abide in thy soul? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Amen. you've been so good at paying attention and following along and joining in. And we are looking forward to working together. We're going to now take some time to go over some songs that may be new to you. And so we appreciate you being involved in that. We may run over a little bit, but hopefully it'll be rewarding to us. I don't want to wear you out too much. I want you to be ready for tomorrow. But I think you'll find these songs mostly easy to sing and meaningful. Meaningful songs that will fit into a context tomorrow. Our singing is not just potluck. That's why I call it where we just sing all a bunch of songs. No, we're going to be singing in a context. Songs regarding glorifying Christ. Songs regarding thankfulness. Songs regarding our spiritual warfare, themes that we'll be singing about and encouraging one another with. So one is a very simple song, Lord, I lay my life at your feet. All to Jesus I surrender. We sing that. This is another way of saying that. And it's a song that is easy to sing. It's not in your book, so it'll totally be on the screen. Sorry we don't have any copies for that. But to save time, we're just going to go through. And you could follow along, and those that can sing parts, just go ahead and join in. Lord, I lay my life at your feet. Let's be part of our first session. We're talking about glorifying Christ. Lord, I lay, our response to Christ is, Lord, I lay my life at your feet. Oh, basses and sopranos, tenors and me souls, the alto do. Lord, I lay my life at your feet. All my hopes, my plans, and my dreams. At the cross where you gave your life for me, Lord, I lay my life at your feet. Lay it down, lay it down at your feet. Lay down at the cross where you gave your life for me. Lord, I lay my life at your feet. Lay it down, lay it down at your feet, lay it down. At the cross where you gave your life for me, Lord, I lay my life at your feet. Amen. Well, that worked quite well. Grateful for the ability that you have. Jesus, draw me ever near. A song that's becoming well known and used. And it talks about, we'll be used again in the context of songs of home. But the idea of this passage through this life and the trials, things that I go through. I lay at the throne of God and asking to be lifted up through this life. Again, I think you'll find it easy to sing. Do, alto, soprano, soul, basses. You start a little differently in this song. So, mi, tenors, do. Jesus, draw me ever dearer as I labor through the storm. You have called me
this passage, and I'll follow, though I'm worn. May this journey bring a blessing. May I rise on wings of faith at the end of my heart's testing. With your likeness, let me wake. Jesus, guide me through the tempest. Keep my spirit stayed and sure. When the midnight meets the morning, let me love you even more. May this journey bring a blessing. May I rise on wings of faith at the end of my heart's testing. With your likeness, let me wake. Let the treasures of the trial form within me as I go. At the end of this long passage, let me leave them at your throne. May this journey bring a blessing. May I rise on wings of faith at the end of my heart's testing. With your likeness, let me wake.
Amen. Great song. What a day that will be. This is a one about heaven. It's a one that you can sing quite readily, I think. We're not going to, those that are musicians, we're not going to sing straight eighth notes. We're going to, if you'll pardon the expression, swing it a little bit. So it'll be, there is coming a day when no heartache shall come. That way. Let's be standing. Oh, soul. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be
with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Amen. You're doing such a fine job, and we're just flowing right through, aren't we? We'll be ready for tomorrow. I do have more. You've been so kind in working with me in Christ alone. Some of you may know this already, heard it in recordings, and very effective song. Getty and Townsend are a great team of songwriters, and they're in the religious world. They're not Christians, members of the church, but they make a nice, solid foundation with all the rest you hear out there. So this will be in our last our spiritual warfare, standing for Christ. And this talks about standing in him alone. And so we'll sing that. I'm going to we'll assume that you're doing such a fine job, we won't go into more detail. If you will permit me, though, in the third verse I've added some dynamic markings. We'll start softly and build. There's four verses. After the third verse, if you permit me, I'm going to stop and have that pause, that wait, and I'm going to repitch the song higher, because that last verse needs to pop out. And so we're going to bring it out. So it works. In Christ alone. Do-so. Notice we all begin on those ovals. We all begin on the same sound. Do-so. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again.
And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Amen. Another powerful song. There is a Redeemer. It's in the supplements. Starts out with a duet. And I encourage the men, if you can't sing the tenor, just join the melody on that part of it. So we're all singing. Do, be, there'll be the melody. Be, and the men that can't sing tenor. Be, and the tenors are here. Me.
There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son. Precious Lamb of God, Messiah, Holy One. Jesus, my Redeemer, name above all names, precious Lamb of God, Messiah, hope for sinners slain. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving the Spirit till the work on earth is done. When I stand in glory, I will see his face. There I'll serve my King forever in that holy place. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the work on earth is done.
All right. So you haven't done that one before? No, okay. It's yours. You own it. I stand in awe. We know this one. You probably know this one, but I'm doing this because there's another verse that we want to sing with it that I think you'll find effective. Again, if you're able and willing, let's be standing.
Also be. You are are beautiful beyond description, too marvelous for words, too wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depth of your love? You are beautiful beyond description, majesty enthroned above. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you.
Beautiful beyond description, yet God crushed you for my sin. In agony and deep affliction, cut off that I might enter in. Who can grasp such tender compassion? Who can fathom this mercy so free? You are beautiful beyond description, Lamb of God who died for me. And I stand in awe of you. I stand in awe of you. Holy God, to whom all praise is due, I stand in awe of you.
Amen. Please be seated. I think you've done so well. I think we'll stop there. I don't think we'll have any problem with anything else I have to throw at you. So it's been a great evening, and so thankful to be able to work with you. And I'm looking forward to tomorrow and with others joining in what we've done this evening. Unity, striving to excel in the edification of the church and glorifying God together. Thank you so much.